We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long here till 8 o'clock. We got Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer coming up after the first break, talking LSU Florida preview, along with the rest of the weekend around the SEC, how them Tigers going to do with the Gators coming to town. A top 10 matchup at the box this weekend. Definitely looking forward to listening to that matchup. Starting tomorrow, we'll have pregame coverage on WWLAMFM.com. And, of course, the Odyssey app with first pitch at 7 o'clock in the 7 o'clock hour this evening. Joe DeLeon, college football and NFL draft analyst for Believe Podcast Network, will talk about the talent pool that could be available for the Saints at pick number 14. I don't know if you've been going through mock drafts like I have, but there's been just such an array of different names that come down, and I'm still seeing even some mocks with Jaden Daniels falling to like pick 11 or 12.
It's not happening.
And I just think it's absolutely absurd.
It's not happening. It's just not. Don't get your hopes up. It's just not going to happen. He's going to be a top three pick. And maybe, you know, the one thing that Mike was saying that I think is a little bit interesting, maybe the Giants trade up from pick six to go get him, but he's not falling out of the top three.
Looking at the Pelicans matchup, just getting underway against the Orlando Magic. The Pels starting, not starting, it'll be game two of their road trip, and they'll be back-to-back nights in Florida. Orlando today, Miami tomorrow. Coach Willie Green talked to the media a little bit before this game tipped off. He mentioned that the Orlando Magic, a really tough defensive squad, and here's what Willie had to say right there about that.
Well, you can see right away that's their strength, is their ability to guard teams. They're big, they're long, they're athletic, and they get into passing lanes, they get steals. It triggers their transition opportunities, and it seems like that's the foundation of the team.
Coach Green was also asked about their big star, Paolo Banchero, and here's Green's comments on the Magic player.
He's a dynamic scorer. He can post you. He has the ability to ISO. He's a streaky 3-point shooter. So he's one of those guys that you can see he's going to continue to evolve as a basketball player. And for him to be as young as he is and having the success that he's having, it's a credit to the coaching staff, his work ethic, I'm sure. And it's one of the reasons this team is having some success.
Coach Green also has some experience with the Orlando Magic as a player. Spent one season in Orlando and was asked about that. Here's what he said.
I am grateful that I had an opportunity to be here in Orlando, to play here, and to have an impact on so many young guys that are still playing now. Victor Oladipo, Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier, Elfrid Payton was on that team, Dwayne Dedmon. You know, some of the coaching staff. So those are my memories when I think back to my time here is really the people that you interact with and the relationships that you build that, you know, they're still continuing to this day.
That's head coach Willie Green of the Pels, who are up 9-3 currently the first quarter in Orlando. It's another tough matchup for this squad. We talked about it a lot. You look at, you know, Coach Green mentioned in their defense, but if you look at them in the standings as well, it's basically a mirror image of New Orleans in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, so they're both the five seeds. They're the five seed in the East. The Pelicans are the five seed in the Western Conference. But as Paolo Banchero, as Coach Green mentioned, is their star player, averaging 22 points per game on 52% from the field this season. He's been excellent. I think this is only year two for him. He was the 2022 first overall pick in the draft. So he's developed really quickly. He's averaging 22 points per game all season, but a very consistent player for them. I mean, as Coach Green mentioned, they have a lot of length, which makes them really tough to handle defensively. But they're a solid team. They're very under the radar, like I mentioned in the first hour. I just think, you know, you're looking at them at 41-28 overall record. They're right there to potentially host a first-round playoff series in the Eastern Conference. So Pelicans, once again, neither A game tonight. I think it's a great matchup. The Pelicans, 42-26 overall, with 14 games left. Once again, Steve,
14.
An 8-6 record gets them to that coveted 50-win mark. And maybe that gets you a top-four seed in the Western Conference. We'll have to see.
Yeah, still a game behind the Clippers, who got a win yesterday. The Pels were a half game behind, now boosted back up to a full game ahead of New Orleans in the standings. And this matchup against the Magic is the first one of the season. There'll be game two down the line. That's going to be April 3rd in the Smoothie King Center. So this one going off in Orlando currently. The Pels up 11-3 right now over the Magic. Like to see them putting the foot on the throat early.
Yeah, if you're looking at the Magic, once again, to Willie's point about being a tough defense to go against, they're number three. They're actually tied for number two in defensive rating in the NBA with the Boston Celtics, Steve. They're only behind the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have a 108.9 wow. defensive rating, and then Boston and Orlando both at 111.4. Very, very, very strong defensive team. So we'll see if the Pelicans can get after it tonight because, I mean, I mentioned it in the Sports Slash. Zion Williamson is on a different level right now. 28.5 points per game, 8.5 boards on 64% shooting from the field over his last six games. The Pels are 7-1 in March. It's going to be a really cool matchup.
You kind of felt the perception of Zion swaying before that last game, but man, oh man, that alley-oop dunk from, you know, that he threw down, that there's been pictures and videos of everywhere, seems to have everybody back on the Zion bus suddenly.
Yeah, I know. People are topping on the bandwagon now that the Pelicans are playing great basketball. And I mean, you know, I guess there's
room. Everyone loves a winner.
Yeah, I guess there's room. 8-2 in their last 10. It's been awesome. But once again, as we mentioned earlier, Steve, 3-1 in this four-game road trip is all I'm looking for. You had this game tonight against the Magic, which is going on right now. The Pelicans currently lead 11-6 midway through the first quarter. If you can split this game and tomorrow night's game versus the Heat, I'm okay with it. I really want to beat the Heat just based off of what happened last time around. And then you have the Pistons, right, to close out this four-game
right,
road
it's like,
trip.
Come on.
The Pistons are one of the worst teams in the NBA. They have one of the worst records. So
the Pels bench should beat the Pistons.
You're expecting to take care of business against the Detroit Pistons. It's more about these two games, today and tomorrow, the Magic and the Heat. And if listen, Steve, if they can sweep this four-game road trip, I'm feeling great. But we got to start with this Magic team. You can't overlook them. Once again, a great defensive bunch with a star in Paolo Banchero that leads them offensively. I think it's a really fun matchup.
We'll definitely be keeping tabs of this matchup throughout the show. Going to take a break when we get back. Get into a little bit of D1Baseball.com. SEC writer Mark Etheridge will join us talking about LSU versus Florida, along with previewing the rest of the weekend around the conference. Right back with more right here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. It's a big weekend for Bayou Bengals baseball. LSU hosting Florida. Help us preview that. SEC writer for D1Baseball.com, Mark Etheridge, joins us right now. How you been, Mark?
I'm good, guys. Ready for the weekend.
Amen to that. A tough matchup coming into the box for LSU, especially coming off a tough weekend at Mississippi State, where we saw some chinks in the armor, I guess you could say, with the pitching staff for the Bayou Bengals.
Yeah, that was really an interesting series for me because, you know, heading into last weekend, Mississippi State had some trouble offensively, and their pitching had been good, which was kind of the opposite of what we expected from them heading into the year. And last weekend, I mean, LSU ran into a buzzsaw. Mississippi State played great, had two blowout wins, and even the Saturday game that LSU won, LSU blew a big lead, and you know, it was a close play at the plate, or it was really dicey, you know, for LSU to win that one. And I wonder, right, it was first real road trip, and I do think some of the young players – that can be a tough place to play up there, and maybe it just kind of got away from them a little bit. I think coming back home against a good Florida team, obviously very, very familiar with a lot of those players from last year. I saw Florida last weekend against Texas A&M. That was series in Gainesville, and Florida took 2 out of 3. It was a really hard-fought series, could have gone either way. And what I would tell you about Florida is that they can really hit 1 through 6. That 1 through 6 may be as good as anybody in the country. After that, it drops off. And then pitching-wise, Jack Caglione, the two-way All-American, just an incredible player. He's a great slugger. He's also pitching, and he pitches on Sunday because he plays first base on Friday and Saturday. And other than him, they've really struggled to get consistent pitching. They've had some good outings, not a lot of great ones other than him, and then they've had some really bad ones. And I think that's what, you know, they've got a lot of young players, kind of like what we talked about with LSU going into Starkville. Those young Florida players are going to be going into the box, and I would think, you know, that's a big advantage for the home team.
Mark, I think it's an interesting point with Florida because they've been a really confusing team from multiple different angles. You watch them on the weekends. They go out and beat teams like Texas A&M, who was previously undefeated, but then they'll lose like a midweek matchup to UCF or to a Jacksonville. And when you look at their record, you see 12-8, but this is still a super talented Florida team. There's a reason they're still number 6 in the country. And, I mean, to your point about the pitching staff, they're number 14 in the SEC with a 5.78 ERA so far this year. Caglione, as you mentioned, has got a 1.77 ERA. But if you're looking at their other weekend guys in Cade Fisher and Liam Peterson, they're both over 7.5 right now on the season so far. But at the same time, as I mentioned earlier about the inconsistencies, that 5.78 ERA doesn't look great, but they've also got the fifth most strikeouts in the league. So just your thoughts on this Florida pitching staff, as you kind of mentioned, they're a little bit weak outside of Caglione, but I just want to get your preview on them.
Yeah, I think what Sully's doing is he's trying to find some guys that will be good in May and June, realizing that he's going to take some lumps and risk losing by using these young, talented pitchers and hoping that they will learn on the job and get through it. He could probably have played it safer and used some less talented older guys, and their record would be a little bit better. But he's trying – but, you know, when you're in a position like Florida or, you know, LSU for that matter, do midweek games in March really matter a whole lot?
No, you know, I mean, LSU lost a couple last year. They lost to Nicholls State. They lost to UL, Lafayette. I mean, it's like, I completely get your point. But I'm just kind of projecting Florida as this weird team that, you know, it seems like they really shine on the weekend series when they're playing teams like Miami that they've beat already. They beat Texas A&M. Now they're coming to the box. That seems to be their strength, is when they get to play these weekend series as opposed to the midweek matchups.
Well, they can handle velocity. You know, LSU certainly has that in spades. But with Caglione, Colby Shelton, who, you know, remember last year was a freshman at Alabama, he's Florida's shortstop now, and he's doing a good job at short. He's already got double-digit home runs. Luke Heyman is there. He either DHs or catches or plays first. He's kind of a versatile guy. He's hitting 3-hole between those two guys. because they're left and he's right, so it kind of mixes it up a little bit. And they've got Cade Kierlin, who's second baseman, leadoff man, who's having a big year. And then, you know, the 5-6 guys, Ty Evans and Tyler Shelnut, are really good as well. It's a tough lineup to pitch to 1-6, and once they get rolling, you know, if you walk a couple of guys or you get behind in the count, all six of those guys will take it deep on you. And that, you know, the other day when I was watching Jack Caglione, he had 119 mile per hour exit velocity on a foul ball down the line. He followed that up on the next pitch with 118 mile per hour single off the wall. It was right near the right fielder, but it was just hit so hard he couldn't catch it in the air, but he caught it off the wall and held Cags to a single. I mean, just watching this guy, if you're a baseball fan, just go early for BP and listen to him take BP, because you can hear the difference between him and some of the other guys that are taking BP.
Mark, when you look at the offense of this LSU baseball squad, I know Jay Johnson can't be happy right now. 175 runs scored, sit eighth in the SEC. Do you expect this offense to kind of come alive and get more consistent? Because we've seen some spurts where they've been impressive, but other than that, it just seems they've struggled most of the time to put runs on the board.
Yeah, and it's kind of been that way for much of the year. I mean, they've been scoring with walks and hit batters and then get the clutch hit. It's not the, you know, 4 and 5 hits in an inning kind of thing that we kind of consider, you know, LSU traditionally having. One thing that may be different, though, as you move into SEC play, you're going to see more velocity. You're going to see things that may give other teams trouble, but because LSU has so much talent, they're going to be able to adjust to that, I think, better than a lot of clubs, maybe with a little bit less quick twitch. So we'll see. It's been an interesting lineup because it's a different one every night, and you don't really know. I mean, one of the highlights of my night on the weekend is seeing what Jay's going to do with the lineup, because it is seemingly different every night. And it's great he's got versatility, but oh boy, I mean, there's 13, 14 guys that could be in there. So we'll see. Does that lineup shrink a little bit where you're finding maybe not 9, but maybe 10 or 11 guys that you're going to ride with if this, you know, if this lack of offense continues? Because this is a pitching staff in Florida that other people have hit, and I would think LSU will be able to have some success as well. But they're also talented, and they're going to figure it out at some point, and you just hope it's not against you.
One of the things that Jay had talked about when previewing this matchup, Mark, was the star power on both sides. We already talked about Caglione, but LSU's got their own star in Tommy White, who's starting to wake up a little bit. He was one of the highlights of the weekend series in Mississippi State. There weren't many, but you know, he's hit 4 home runs in his last 4 games. He's now, I think, actually got 9 hits in that stretch as well. So he's starting to pick it up a little bit here. And I think if you're looking for any Tigers to really kind of get after that Florida pitching staff that's been a little bit vulnerable so far this year, I mean, you got to start with White.
Yeah, I think the quote from Chris Lemonis this weekend, he's the Mississippi State head coach, is, "We threw him 3 fastballs all weekend and he hit 3 home runs." So that tells you what kind of heater. I mean, Tommy has got it figured out right now. And it's not that he got off to a really slow start. He just wasn't hitting for power. And now that power's coming along. And, you know, that's the part that's kind of been missing for LSU. You look around the league and there are a lot of guys with 9, 10, you know, Charlie Condon's got 14 home runs. And LSU doesn't have anybody like that. Maybe White can get there. I think Jared Jones, I think he leads the team. He's got, what, 8? So I think, you know, their power potential, and when you're not getting a whole lot of hits, right, like we talked about earlier, you know, they're getting 6, 8, 9 hits a game and not double digits like in years past, you're going to need some pop. And I think with Tommy coming around and maybe some of the other guys are going to get better pitches, because you don't want to, you know, give him anything, this is just what they need, especially coming home after a tough loss. I really expect LSU to play well this weekend.
I agree with you, Mark. But before we get into, you know, the schedule, I want to get your thoughts on just the weekend series in general. I think LSU-Florida is obviously the highlight, but I think there are some other really interesting matchups around the SEC. I want to get your thoughts. I've talked to a couple different writers about this. LSU's like upcoming 4-week stretch in the SEC is just vicious. Like after this series at home against Florida, they go on the road to face number one Arkansas, who has got the best pitching rotation in the country. I think you would agree with that. And then after that, they come back home and they host number three Vanderbilt, who's super hot right now. And then they hit the road to go to Knoxville and face number eight Tennessee. That is 4 straight weekend series against top 10 opponents. I mean, that's the SEC in a nutshell. But in that stretch, I mean, you're 1-2 in SEC play right now. What do you think the Tigers need to do over those next 4 weekends to really stay afloat in SEC play?
Yeah, I think at this point you win your home series and you don't get swept on the road and you're probably fine, right? And that puts you in position, especially if you're not really feeling great about your team right now. You don't want to get buried, because that's the problem with this. If you go into a quote slump and you're facing opponents like this, you're going to get swept. So I think that's the thing. LSU has such a home field advantage. I do think that. You know, I would favor them against anyone at home. But when you're going on the road, like you're going to go to Fayetteville, you're going to go to Knoxville, those are two difficult places to play. And LSU's going to be an underdog going in there for both of those series. So I think you come out of that, you know, that 12 games at 6-6, you're not going to be real happy at 7-8 going into the break. But the schedule does let up. And I think from that point, you know, you can make up some ground and get to where you want to go, because the SEC is so strong. I think if you have a top, you know, 12 to 15 RPI and you're winning 17, 18 conference games, you're going to be right in the hunt to be a top 8 seed, which is, you know, whether you're number 1 or number 8, it doesn't really matter. You just want one of those 8. And that's, you know, and that should be the goal for this LSU team.
Mark, looking at the rest of the SEC, obviously nothing as big of a matchup as this LSU-Florida game, but what are some of the other, I guess you would say, series that you definitely think should pique at least LSU fans' interest this weekend?
There's a couple tonight, right, Mark?
Yeah, I think the Mississippi State trip to Texas A&M is interesting. State's obviously feeling really good about themselves, on a roll. That's their first road series. I mean, they haven't even played a true road game. They've had some neutral site things. So, you know, what we talked about, it's tough to go on the road for the first time with a bunch of new guys. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. That game's going to start at 7 Central tonight. And, you know, the Arkansas series, they're playing Auburn right now. And Hagan Smith, who you mentioned earlier, he's the best. He's pitching better than anyone in the country right now. He's striking out like 70% of all his outs recorded. I mean, it's just freaking, you know, insane what he's doing. It's almost like what Skeens was doing, right, last year, except he's probably getting a few more strikeouts. And I think that's the interesting part of this is we knew he would be good, but I don't think we thought we knew he would be this good. His slider right now is unhittable. So that's an interesting matchup, because Auburn got swept last weekend, and I like their team. I think they're going to be fine, but you know, they went to Vandy and got thumped, and those games were not competitive, and now they come home and there's the number one team in the nation. And in that life in the SEC, I mean, when you're struggling, the last thing you want to see is Hagan Smith and the top-ranked team, and that's what Auburn's got. So those are interesting. I think Ole Miss, who got a – you know, they had that rough year last year, and they're – They took 2 out of 3 from South Carolina last weekend. They kind of start SEC play. They've won 10 out of 11 overall. And they're going to Tennessee, who's obviously very talented. I think Tennessee's lineup, 1-9, may be the best in the country. It's really, really strong. And they've got some pretty good pitchers, too. So I'm excited to see, you know, what's going to happen when those teams tangle.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about LSU's 4-week stretch. I mean, the scheduling didn't do Auburn any favors going up against, obviously, that Vanderbilt team that's on a 14-game winning streak, and now they have to go and face an Arkansas team that's on a 13-game winning streak. So that's really tough, but that's life in the SEC. But I just want to get your thoughts on, you know, the opening weekend. A lot of teams, as we mentioned, LSU, Texas A&M, you know, Tennessee all getting those 1-2 starts. But what's, like, one of those teams that has gone off to kind of a slow start in conference play that you expect to really pick it up quickly?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the commonality to that is life on the road is hard, and your first trip for conference play on the road, you know, all seven road teams lost. Okay, so it is challenging, and I expect that while it, you know, I don't think this week will be quite as severe, just because of the matchups. I think Kentucky's got to win at Missouri. Alabama might win at Georgia. Vandy might win at South Carolina just because of the matchups. But it's hard to win on the road. So I think LSU will be fine. I think Tennessee, I still think they're an Omaha team. They're going to be in the hunt all year. Texas A&M, you know, they lost a series. I think that offense, especially the top half of it, the top three may be the best 1-2-3 hitters in the country. I mean, if you want to get that granular, they're really, really good. And if they pitch, I think they're an Omaha team. So, I mean, you've got so much top-heavy teams in the conference that somebody's got to lose when they play. And that's what we saw last weekend, and I think we're going to continue to see it. You're going to have – you have 13 teams right now. I'm not counting Missouri, but you're counting 13 teams with legitimate postseason hopes, and I would say probably 12 of those teams think they can host. And obviously that's not going to happen. They're not all going to make the tournament. So it's going to be – it is the heyday of SEC baseball. It has never been better than it is right now, and we all need to just kind of enjoy it and watch all these great teams duel it out for a 10-week regular season.
I know, obviously we joke down here, SEC football has been ruling, but man, oh man.
Baseball's better.
Baseball is much better right now.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I've been covering college baseball 25 years, and it's not even close, man. And you talk to people inside the sport, and they say, I say this every year, but the league is better. The league is the best it's ever been. It's even better than it was last year. And then, you know, you roll in the next year, and they say the same thing. And then you look at it, and it kind of backs it up, just seeing how successful the league is. You look at the top of the polls. You look at the top of the metrics, you know, the RPI and things like that. It's just littered with SEC teams. And it's so much – it's because of the administrative commitment and the fan bases and the facilities and the exposure. All of those things just come together and you know, you have the best coaches and you steal the best coaches from other leagues and the best players all want to come play here. And all of that comes together and this is the product that you get.
Mark, always great stuff. Thank you for the time and we'll be talking to you soon.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. You can check out all his great work there. A bevy of information he always dumps on us.
Yeah, I mean, he's right, though. The SEC, can you imagine that? 13 postseason teams from one conference? It might happen. We'll have to see.
Looking at the Pelicans and Orlando Magic, the Pels up 32-30 with 9 minutes till halftime. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this on WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Checking in on the Pellies. You're up 1 minute, and then the next, the other team's making a comeback. That's life in the NBA. Orlando has now stormed out to a 42-36 lead over the Pels. 6 minutes till halftime there. Turnovers have been an issue for the Birds, and also the Magic, man. They're just hitting them 3-point shots, 8 of 17 from beyond the arc. The Pels just 2 of 7 on 3-pointers right now.
Yeah, the Pelicans got off to a great start in the first quarter. The Magic have kind of gone on that run since then, and Pels have been off to a really slow start offensively in the second quarter here, so we'll see if they can pick it up.
And looking to Paolo Banchero, ain't even scoring right now. He's got some rebounds under his belt, but 0 points from him.
Yeah, so looking also around the college basketball tournament here, Steve, you're talking about a team that went on a run. Man, Nevada versus Dayton earlier today, which finished this hour, incredible stuff there. Nevada had a 58-39 lead with 7 minutes and 19 seconds left to go in the second half. They end up losing that game 60-63, Steve. So over those final 7 minutes and 20 seconds, basically, Dayton outscored Nevada 24-2, a 24-2 run to seal their ticket into the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament. Also right now, I don't know if this will keep up, but, you know, Mike was not very high on Kentucky entering the tournament. Oakland, the 14 seed, leads Kentucky 23-17.
Ouch.
With about 8 minutes left to go in the first half. That would be a massive bracket buster. Of course, there's still plenty of time left to go
definitely.
In this game. But we can definitely see Oakland's very competitive in this first half.
Yeah, seeing two here. Texas has a comfortable lead right now, 27-11 over Colorado State. Iowa State just getting underway against South Dakota State, leading 15-3. And the Zags taking on McNeese and Will Wade. That game is still early goings, 6-2 Gonzaga. Definitely pulling for the Cowboys in this matchup. Hopefully they can pull a win out like Grambling did yesterday.
Yeah, so Colorado State, I think, caught the Virginia virus. They went on a huge scoring drought in that first half against Texas. So that's why Texas leads that by 16 at the halftime. And, yeah, so we'll keep you updated on all the scores around college hoops and obviously the Pelicans as well. Iowa State off to a really hot start as well, and we'll see what McNeese can do against a Gonzaga team that we've talked to a couple different writers they think is a little bit overseeded at 5. That Midwest region, Steve, I'll say it over and over again, Purdue got a cakewalk. We'll see if they can take advantage of it.
Any big surprises for you yet? For me, I guess I'd have to say Oregon being able to take down South Carolina. I didn't have Duquesne beating BYU, but I was kind of flipping back and forth on that in my picks, but I didn't think that South Carolina would go down in the opening round.
No, Oregon was one of those trendy, I think, picks. Every single year, it seems that there's at least one double-digit seed that makes a run to the Sweet 16. I think Oregon was one of those trendy picks. Duquesne, I think, is probably the biggest surprise so far, taking down BYU. It's going to be interesting to see what happens now, Steve. New Mexico versus Clemson, and then NC State against Texas Tech. We talked with Steve Wiseman in the 4 o'clock hour. Can those 11 seeds go 4-0 against the 6 seeds in this tournament? That's going to be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that NC State-Texas Tech matchup should be fun. Definitely looking forward to we get out of here, get to watch some hoops. That's the beautiful thing about this time of year right now. You might be at work still, but guess what? There's basketball all day.
Yeah, NCAA tournament is going to be going all night, so that's going to be fun, and we'll also be able to catch the end of this Pelicans game. We'll see if they can kind of make a comeback here right now, Steve, because the second quarter has not been very good.
You've seen reports that this time of year is when men typically go under the – well, I can't even say under the knife, but they end up getting an operation having vasectomies because then they're at home on the couch getting to watch television the entire time.
I did not see that, but I understand.
Definitely an uptick in vasectomies this time of year. It's pretty funny to think about. Luckily, the procedure is a lot easier nowadays than I'm sure it was in the past. We're going to take a break, be back with one last segment before we close things out in the 6 o'clock hour right here on WWL. Oh, those Pelicans up to 10 turnovers now against that defensive-minded Orlando Magic squad. Orlando up 51-40, 3 minutes left till halftime over there. Want to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line before we get into the top of the hour. James, what you got for us today, my man?
You know, it's funny. I think we could get a couple of good players now that whether we like, you know, the young signing with us or not. You got at least, what, 5 or 6 defensive ends? I don't think we're going to keep more than 6, right? Somebody's going to have to leave. But, I mean, because you got Foskey, you got you got Turner.
Passanio.
Young. Yeah, Passanio. So, I mean, I think you're going to have an odd man out. That'd be a discussion for another day. I would think it'd be might be Passanio, but he's so tall and he plays inside.
James, you still don't know anything about Peyton Turner, though, either. I think that, you know, he had a lot to prove last year, and he didn't prove anything.
Yeah, he's a total bust, but I'm not sure that, you know, pride kicks in. I'm not sure Mickey would do that. But what about the defensive tackles? I'm thinking, you know, the Brian Murphy, maybe at 14.
Yeah, Byron Murphy from Texas. Mike is really, really high on him, James. That's a name to keep an eye on for sure. He's like the opposite of Brian Bursee, where Bursee's like built super high off the saddle. I think that, you know, Byron Murphy kind of fits the mold of an elite NFL defensive tackle, especially in today's league. I like the pick a lot if that's where they decide to go. I think he's probably a top 15 prospect. So if they want to go defensive tackle again, I think that would be a pretty good fit.
I actually went with him in my latest mock draft that we talked about, the Inside Black and Gold podcast, and I ended up in the second round with Michael Penix Jr. I don't think that's going to be a likelihood of him lasting that long either,
Maybe
though.
Maybe that happens, Steve. Maybe it does. I'm not really sure. Michael Penix Jr.'s value is kind of all over the place right now. Everyone's
ridiculous
talking about
how it's dropped off.
J.J. McCarthy, right, was, like, came out of nowhere in the last month, and now he's viewed as like a top 5 pick in this draft, which is crazy to think about, because I think a lot of people after college football season was over viewed Michael Penix as that fourth quarterback off the board. Now it's almost certainly JJ. I don't think he falls out of the first round necessarily. If he does, he's going to be very quickly scooped up in the second round. I don't think he lasts a pick 45. But James, to your point, once again, Byron Murphy is definitely a name to keep an eye on for sure. The defensive tackle out of Texas, he's a top 15 prospect in this upcoming draft, and if he's there at 14, and you're looking to bolster that interior defensive line, which had some issues last year.
A little bit.
Yeah, that could be an interesting pick. I think the positional value obviously leans towards defensive end, but that's also a good point, is that the Saints already have a bunch of them now with Young as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely all about beefing up that offensive and defensive line, because we hear it all the time, where you win football is in the trenches.
Yeah, and the inside out too. I mean, that's what Carolina's deciding to do now, and it would make sense for the Saints to try and do that as well.
Got one more hour to come here on WWL Sports Talk. Next hour, we'll be talking more NFL draft. Joe DeLeon, college football and draft analyst for the Believe Podcast Network, will join us. Also, get into sound from the LSU women's basketball team with Angel Reese and Haley Van Liff. Hear what they had to say ahead of their matchup tomorrow. Right back with more on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.